Welcome to a special preview of a Patreon-only episode of the Meat for Tea cast. You can go to patreon.com/meatfortea and sign up. For $2 a month or more, you can get exclusive episodes and previews of other special episodes before they come out to the general public. By becoming a Patreon supporter, you help support Meat for Tea and the Meat for Tea cast, which we'll really appreciate. Thanks for listening to the Meat for Tea cast. Here's a preview of this special episode.
Let's welcome Jane Yolen and Peter Tacy.
Since we are sitting down, and I find it very hard to read.
I'm going to stand up.
You're going to stand up.
Yeah.
Well, but we're back here. I just wanted to start a little bit by, first of all, thanking Meat for Tea and thanking all the people in the library. But I also thought that you might want to learn a little backstory about how Peter and I met and why we are writing poems together. Peter and I actually met 65 years ago, something like that.
1958.
When he was a senior at Williams, and I was a junior at Smith, because someone said to one of our friends, and we still don't know who, because probably the person is long dead at this point, said, "I know someone who's a poet just like you," with maybe even a little sneer, just like you. And I think you might like to go out with him or her. And the next thing we knew, we were going out for 2 months, mostly sitting and talking about poetry. We loved Emily Dickinson, both of us. And it was the key thing that kept us going for the 2 months.
Back in 1958, keep in mind, most of Emily Dickinson's poetry was as yet unpublished. And with any English department at a respectable college like the ones we went to, her poetry was scorned. And we were both pretty rebellious and
snarky,
and also had good taste in poetry. And it was one of the things that pleased us. There was another person on the planet who thought about Emily like we did. We really thought of her as a friend.
But after 2 months, we kind of went our own ways. 2 weeks later, he met the woman who would be his wife. A year later, I met the man who was going to be who was going to be my husband. We both had really wonderful marriages. And then cancer struck both of them. And I was a widow for 15 years. He was a widower for 7 years. And again, the sort of the same thing that brought us together the first time happened again in a very almost magical way. The New Yorker, which I didn't get because they never bought any poems for me. They never bought anything for me. Why should I, you know, keep buying the New Yorker, except I would read it when I had my hair done. But Peter was religiously buying. They came, you know, week after week after week. And for some reason, the New Yorker had a 5.5-page article by someone I didn't know, who never talked to me, on children's, adolescents, Holocaust novels, and really featured my 3 Holocaust novels. And next thing I know, I get this letter from, or email from Peter saying, "Have you read this? This is, wow, this is amazing, this review." I didn't even know it existed. So we started corresponding back and forth. And he said, "I'm going to go to the Emily Dickinson Museum tomorrow or the next day," whatever it was. "Is it anywhere close to where you are?" And I said, "20 minutes away." So we met at the Emily Dickinson Museum. And that's how we are, why we are with each other today.
It's all Emily's fault.
It is. And she would be very snarky about it had she had she known. So we are going to start by reading from the Black Dog poems. Let us tell you a little bit about that black dog. I actually had a lab who was a black dog when I was in high school. This black dog was Peter's. This black dog was Peter's wife's dog, really. They were two alpha females together. Mm-hmm. And I think Barbara trained both the dog and the husband. When I first met Peter again at the Emily Dickinson Museum, the dog was there. And I think I fell in love with the dog first. She was a corker. So we started writing poems about her, not realizing that she was, less than a year to live?
Yeah, about that.
She was an old dog, but she didn't look it. She would walk into a room and look over everybody and go, okay, that one, not that one. That one, not that one. She scanned the room. She knew who was going to be the one who was going to be interested in her. And there was something magical about her. So we started writing poems back and forth about the black dog. And one day I said, because it, being a professional writer, you get these ideas. I said, I think that's a book. And lo and behold, because we were at that point doing poems, both of us, I think, Meet for Tea, we decided to work with them and make the Black Dog poems. So these are really poems that came out of everydayness with this particular dog, Gracie. And so I think you start, Peter.
Sure. The book is a sort of a trajectory that begins really when this dog is a puppy and ends up after her life had ended. So this is at the beginning of the trajectory, a poem called The Black Dog Gift. Surprise! The dog we had discussed showed up one day, a ball of fluff firmly determined to earn the trust of those whose love would be enough to match her own innate endowment of joyful loyalty and affection, of expectations, the glorious present would each day suffice. Reflection of a mindset born of anticipation of anything that I might do with her, an hour's walk, a vacation trip, a leisurely saunter through the center of the town, a snooze amid the music stands of my string quartet, a drive to Florida. Oh, she chews each with boundless joy. I see her yet in the empty space she left behind, gone now, but present in my mind, like that greater absence that fills my day, another love that's gone, but here to stay.
So this one was one of the earlier ones that I wrote about her. It's called The Benediction of Snow. It falls like grace upon the black dog's shoulders, coating her long ears with prayers. On the flat dike by the river, she plunges through parables and barks at the scattering flakes. They fly from her open mouth as if they were angel feathers, white and miraculous, or chips of old, unburied bones.
If you'd like to hear more of this episode, please go to patreon.com/meetfortea and sign up. Your support will be greatly appreciated. You'll be helping support Meat for Tea and the Meat for Tea Cast and all we do. Thanks so much for listening to the Meat for Tea Cast. The Meat for Tea Cast is produced by Elizabeth McDuffie and Meat for Tea, The Valley Review. Mixed by Mark Allen Miller at Zone Lab, East Hampton, Massachusetts. Visit Meat for Tea at www.meatfortea.com. You can reach us through meatforteacast@gmail.com, or you can leave a voice message at anchor.fm/meatforteacast. We welcome suggestions for contents for the Meat for Tea Cast. If you've attended a Meat for Tea Cirque and want to hear from one of the bands or one of the spoken word contributors, please let us know. All portions are copyright Meat for Tea and their respective holders. Vote for Meat for Tea on your favorite podcast app. Follow us on Twitter at Elizabeef, Meat for Tea on Instagram, and on the Meat for Tea and Meat for Tea Cast Facebook pages. Meat for Tea is available everywhere you get your favorite podcasts.